This is Roger Bennett of Men in Blazers.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless.
You're listening to the Mouths of the South podcast.
Mouths of the South podcast, right here on Dirty South Soccer.
Rock on.
Eat it up.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back after a little bit of a layoff for the Thanksgiving holiday period. Sam Franco here alongside Eric Quintana and Jason Smith. The Mouths of the South podcast is back, in fact, and we are ready to roll here. Don't forget, DirtySouthSoccer.com is our home. You can also follow Dirty South Soccer on Twitter at Dirty South Soc. That's S-O-C. You can also follow our Twitter account at MOTS Podcast, and you can follow Jason at Jason is a Smith, Eric at Eric Quintana 47, and myself at Sam J. Franco. So that's how you get at us on social media. Also, Facebook, you can go to the Dirty South Soccer page on Facebook, and that's pretty much where you can find all of our stuff. So, gentlemen, good afternoon. How are you guys doing? I say afternoon because we're recording in the afternoon.
What's up?
What's up, Sam? Doing pretty well. It's cold now.
It is cold. Yeah, I guess that's kind of a thing that we have to deal with now. And Jason, you being up in Nashville, probably a little colder than us down here in Georgia. But hey, you know, it's the life we choose to live, and unfortunately it is cold, but hey, we don't have to deal with that long throughout the year. One thing that is not cold is the rumor mill coming off of the end of MLS season. Thank you. We'll hit kind of some MLS points more on the back end of this podcast, just kind of recapping our thoughts on the MLS Cup and how everything went down and just short of the season in general. But first, we're going to hit on we finally have names. We'll just put it that way in terms of rumors that are flying around Atlanta United. You know, people have been talking for a while now, who's going to be that DP? You know, who's going to be the first coach? And the first name that has hit the rumor mill for coach is a local product by the name of Josh Wolf, former U.S. men's national team player. Josh Wolf, he was a striker. He played in the MLS for a long time. He played with the Chicago Fire, the Kansas City Wizards, the D.C. United. He also spent in the second tier of the German soccer setup, Bundesliga 2. He was with 1860 Munich. In his time with the men's national team, he scored 9 goals, and he's a local product again. Like I said, he went to Parkview High School, won some state championships there. So I will throw this to Eric first. Your thoughts on a name finally being out there?
Well, I think the initial kind of reaction from most people was, you know, it doesn't really make too much sense because, you know, he doesn't have head coaching experience, which is probably what you would want out of the first coach of your franchise. I get why some people would be excited because he has those local ties, because he was, Greg Berhalter's first coaching hire at Columbus Crew. And again, those strong ties to Parkview and winning those championships there. I could see why people would get excited. I could also see why people are just like, it doesn't really do much for me. And I think that it was more my theory behind the whole thing was, since Atlanta United, since our crew from Atlanta United was up in Columbus to watch the MLS Cup, I get the sense that it was more Josh Wolf expressing interest in Atlanta United as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I think that when you're looking at a first job like this, obviously Josh Wolf's going to be interested. I mean, you can throw out a bunch of different coaching candidates that put their names out there for jobs. That doesn't mean that they're the most qualified or that they're going to get the job. But of course, Josh Wolf would want this job. He's a local product, and I'm sure he'd love to be the guy to have the first opportunity to take charge. Is it that name that really, you know, wows you or definitely moves the meter? No, but I think Atlanta United could do worse. But at the same time, I do agree that maybe you go after a bigger name coach. And look, there's plenty of good candidates out there. There's no doubt about that. So it's not something where they need to hurry. I think a lot of people want Atlanta United to go ahead and name that manager and hurry up with it. But I don't think that hurrying the process is really the best thing. I think you just need to get the best guy for the job. And Jason, what are your thoughts?
I'm with you. I don't think you need to hurry. I wish they'd hurry up and get us more rumors to report about, because this is like the most fun we've had in a while reporting stuff. I'm with Eric, and then I'm like, you know, I'm kind of meh and don't necessarily know how much stock to put in the solidity of interest from Atlanta United's side in Josh Wolf. But I will say, if you just compare like two candidates, like the candidate like Josh Wolf versus, you know, a dream candidate of mine, someone like, say, oh, I don't know, Gary Monk, who just got fired from Swansea.
Yes.
I think it's more likely that Atlanta is going to get a guy like Josh Wolf. You know, like, I'm not saying, I'm not really saying we should set ourselves up to be disappointed. I just think that at this point, MLS just continues to like need to either develop players or coaches, but it doesn't seem like they can do both at the same time. So I feel like we're more likely to end up getting someone like an assistant from Columbus Crew that we haven't really heard a lot about, who has ties to Boca Negra and to the region, than we necessarily are to go and like really splash the cash and bring in a guy who almost had a team in the Europa League, you know?
Well, I mean, look at how many managers in the MLS are guys that, you know, have that big, huge international experience. I mean, the MLS is full of very good coaches, but it's not full of like big name splash coaches. I mean, Bruce Arena is one of the biggest names, and what has he really done outside of the U.S. soccer setup in terms of, and that includes MLS, but what has he really done outside of that? You know, Ziggy Schmidt, that's another very good coach. So I just don't think that MLS is at the point where you're going to be getting these big, high-profile coaches coming in. You know, I think maybe guys on the back end, like a you know, with all the rumors about NYCFC for a long time and knew they were going to get, and, you know, they might have more of a high profile ability to draw in that kind of coach, because New York City has a lot of built-in advantages in attracting those types of people, whereas Atlanta might not. So I think that you're, like what Jason said, you're probably going to end up with more of like a Josh Wolf than say, you know, just throwing out a really huge free agent coach, Carlo Ancelotti, which is obviously not going to happen, but that was just me using an example. So I guess
that'd be a heck of a news day for us, by the way. I'd love to report that story if you'd like to go ahead and make that happen, Darren Eels, listening to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. If Carlo Ancelotti is named the coach, well, we will have all the coverage for you right here on the Mouths of the South podcast, Dirty South Soccer. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but we'll see where the coaching search takes us.
I wouldn't be opposed to it, though. I think this is like almost a good, with all due respect to Josh Wolf, a good fallback type of head coach because of, you know, everything that we've mentioned so far. I mean, Atlanta United is basically kept to the timeline that, you know, next summer is when we're going to, or we hope to actually hire a coach, and that's so that they can see what coaches are available from you know, other leagues. So I don't think we'll see anything until then anyway, but it's a good kind of fallback to have in case everything else, you know, doesn't fall through.
You know what, but I think an area you need to look at in something like this is the youth academies and the developmentals academies and stuff from around the world that are really good. Look at the Ajax setup. Look at the Barcelona setup. Maybe you look at some people that are very involved in those setups but haven't been looked at as, you know, head coaching candidates for those types of places, and maybe they feel a little chip on their shoulder and that they need to go somewhere and prove that they can actually, you know, be the head coach themselves and something like that. I've always thought looking at those setups where you know that they're really good at developing players and sort of fledgling talent, that, you know, they can come in and really make their mark early on.
Another interesting way to go, if we're just talking about, you know, just the general characteristics of a manager we would want, would be to go something like Grant Wall has reported pretty extensively, or at least he's got a long form article out there about Brentford in the Championship, who has gone completely Moneyball in their team makeup. They're heavy into analytics, heavy into advanced stats.
Basically Football Manager in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And so like, I would like, I don't necessarily care if we go that way or not. And I don't necessarily advocate that we go that way, because in some ways that general philosophy can get very frustrating to talk about and even like be educated in. But I would say at least it would be unique. Like, it would be a fun personality type thing for Atlanta United to have. And that's more what I want than just, you know, a guy who is MLS business as usual, you know?
No, I can totally see that. I think maybe thinking outside the box like that might be the way to go, just because with MLS, there definitely are handicaps in the way you build your team and the way that you attract talent, just the way that the league is set up. I know that some people would argue that you need to kind of have an MLS lifer just because they will know the system better. But at the same time, why not think outside of the system and try and bring in as much of an outside perspective as possible? I totally think that'd be a good idea.
I just think Brendan Rodgers is still available. Sorry, Eric.
I just think we have to be careful with bringing someone, you know, that doesn't understand MLS because of just the failed history of those managers.
Well, it's so different. It's just so
different
than the other league. That's why I think I do agree with what you're saying there, just because why you think bringing somebody with an outside perspective would be a good idea,
they might get frustrated. Flat in your face, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they might get frustrated with the, I guess, barriers that are put in front of them in terms of doing things the way that they might think things should be done, whereas this is how we do it here. So it's tough, but I think that, you know, Josh Wolf is a good start, and if he ends up being the manager, we'll throw our support behind him. But if not, we will continue to, I guess, vet candidates and see who he thinks the best person for the job.
So. Just one more thing. Orlando City and NYCFC both chose managers with prior head coaching experience. So just want to throw that out there as a precedent.
No, there you go. And then we'll see if Atlanta United follows that precedent as well. Going from coach to player, we finally have a name of a player, at least a rumored DP signing for Atlanta United. And it's not a household name, but it's at least not from, you know, U.S. soccer or MLS fan circles. But it is a household name from Mexican and the Mexican League fan setup. And it is Chivas and Mexican international Marco Fabian is the first rumored DP signing, or at least maybe a guy that Atlanta could look at. And this has come from a report from ESPN Deportes, who say that the Bundesliga would probably be his first choice, but that Atlanta United could be a backup for about a $4 million transfer fee, which is not in the middle, maybe on the low middle end of sort of the chart that we've seen DP signings go for. You know, it's not like a $10 million offer for, you know, like a Chicharito or a Carlos Vela. And I also want to say really quickly that any Atlanta United fan that thinks Chicharito is coming to Atlanta United in their first season, I think you need to pump the brakes on that a little bit.
Yeah, awesome.
Shut up, guys.
Well, it's just, he's scoring goals in the Champions League against Barcelona for Bayer Leverkusen.
Like, stop it.
I'm sorry, man. It's just the guy is scoring in the Champions League right now. I just don't think that's going to happen. This is a guy who's played for Manchester United, Real Madrid, and now playing very well for Bayer Leverkusen. So
honestly, he'll probably end up in LAFC, and they'll probably bring Cristiano Ronaldo along with him.
That's
probably true.
But no, it's a good point. I mean, I think Atlanta United fans, as much as it pains me to say this, you need to be realistic. And you need to – I think a Marco Fabian is a much more realistic target than, you know, like a Chicharito. Although – and that's the thing. And we'll get into this in a little bit with the DP stuff. But, like, I think you need to kind of have that strategy of what you want to do. And I think – that a good strategy to have would be getting like a Marco Fabian to kind of get the Mexican market and the Mexican fans interested, then maybe go after a younger U.S. national in the likes or the mold of a Darlington Nagby, you know, somebody like that who you can sort of build around and get the U.S. soccer fan excited about. And then for the third DP spot, I think that's when you go after that big name, you know, like we keep dreaming about around here, like your Zlatans or something like that, you know, just in terms of getting in that name recognition to sell jerseys and make, you know, just the sort of casual fan more excited about it. So I think that that's a strategy you can look at. And if that's what they go with, I think I can get behind that.
I'm excited about the rumor only because it is a Mexican international star who is not over 30. And I feel like if that's an MLS rumor, then that's good. You know, like it's good for the league if you're getting guys in that age bracket to come willingly to your league and play soccer. If that continues to be the trend, MLS is going to get a lot better. If, as we've said, there's some guys out there who do defy this, like a Robbie Keane, who just looks like he's going to play till he's 55, and you know, pull the Nolan Ryan of MLS. But, you know, in my opinion, we're all looking for the next Giovinco. But what we really love about Giovinco more than anything is it's an internationally great player who showed up in his prime to play in MLS before the three got into the tens digits of his age, you know. And that to me is really exciting. If nothing else, like, I think you're right, Sam. I think Marco Fabian is definitely a more modest transfer target and certainly would be a thing to get butts in seats in Mercedes Stadium, which we can talk about later on about how awesome we have, you know, with a giant video board that might be getting butts in seats too. But yes. but my thought on that is, like, if the first digit of his age is a two, I'm kind of excited about the transfer rumor no matter what.
Yeah, I think you definitely have to be excited about wanting to go after young players and build that way. And there's obviously so much unanswered about Atlanta United in terms of how the team is going to be built with the rumored ditching of the expansion draft. That would put a lot more of an onus on Carlos Bocanegra and the rest of the staff to put together a team. And I think you need to start and look at these young starlets and try and get your hooks in early, as opposed to letting them go to a mid-tier Bundesliga team. Why not let them be the star at Atlanta United?
Well, see, I'm curious if he would go to a mid-level or just, you know, lower-level Bundesliga team and, you know, possibly ride the bench as opposed to trying to play here.
I think it has a lot to do with the type of player. You know, while the potential for you to shine and earn more money is probably bigger at a mid-level Bundesliga club, you also, you know, have a chance to really forge your own way by coming to MLS. So I think it just depends on the mentality of the player. And also, I don't take being close to home for granted. You know, I think a lot of players, especially young players, I know 26 isn't necessarily young, but, you look at guys and maybe they want to stay close to home. 26 is a weird age for a guy like a Marco Fabian, because it's like, would he, you know, is he getting too old to make that jump? Like, if he doesn't make the jump to Europe now, will he ever make the jump to Europe? Is that something he wants to do? So 26 is that weird age, whereas like a 22 or 23-year-old is going to be much more inclined to try their luck out in Europe.
I just love that we're beginning to speculate about people's motivations and lives on this podcast. It's so great. We're here, guys. Well, soccer's happening. He's finally here.
That's what you got
to
do.
Here's the thing I was going to bring up. It's not like, speaking of being close to home, it's not like Atlanta doesn't have a, you know, very vibrant Mexican community.
Oh, exactly. No, you're totally right.
It'd almost be a decent-sized airport.
Exactly. So it'd be a perfect, you know, perfect location.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I guess that's where we are right now with the DP stuff. And I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on kind of that strategy I threw out there. Is that something that we can agree on in a sense that maybe that's the best way to go about it, is hit that young Mexican market, hit the young U.S., and then, you know, your third, I guess, your big DP – could be a U.S. men's national team player, one of the more standout names, you know, but it doesn't really necessarily have to be. Like what if Atlanta United could pull a Fabian Johnson, which would be phenomenal in my opinion, but is that something you do?
I think now that MLS has come out and said that more than likely, I forget the exact wording, but basically they're thinking about doing away with or adopting a more international FIFA calendar for the MLS calendar,
right.
And we won't have those international break clashes with the MLS. I think, you know, definitely Atlanta United would be more inclined to look at some of these U.S. men's national team players, particularly the young ones that they know might make it, or, guys that regularly get call-ups. and those international players for other countries. So I know that I saw that and I got really excited because I am definitely up for, you know, definitely like a Mexican national player, a U.S. men's national player, and then the third one being, you know, whoever you want to throw the checkbook at.
This is where my fanhood as an Atlanta United fan and also as a U.S. men's national team fan comes into conflict, because in my heart of hearts, I would love for Fabian Johnson to be one of Atlanta's first DP signings. In my U.S. men's national team heart of hearts, I'm like, don't come to MLS. Stay in Germany. You're so good. Don't come to MLS. People who come to MLS end up terrible. Michael Bradley came and his whole career fell apart.
Champions League, and he's one of these guys scoring goals in the Champions League.
I mean, Fabian Johnson basically ripped Bayern Munich apart in the Bundesliga last weekend. I mean, just they Gladbach carved them, and Fabian scored a goal. Like a one-on-one goal against Manuel Neuer. Like, just don't leave Germany. Stay there.
I love,
you're clearly doing good things there.
I love the fact that on the broadcast, they basically give him the American characteristic. They don't do that with anyone else, but when it's an American scoring goals, they make sure that you know it's an American.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got to. I mean, you gotta throw that out there. It's like, oh, by the way, this guy's American. Hint, hint. Keep watching.
It's so rare for Americans to score goals in the Champions League.
Well, it's just like in other sports when, you know, the white guy is deceptively quick, and it's like, no. Why can't he just be quick?
Really hard worker, real lunch pail kind of guy.
Lunch pail guy. Yeah, the guy you'd want with you in the foxhole. Exactly. So, you know, hopefully we can get to a point where Fabian Johnson is just a very good soccer player. He's not a very good American soccer player. Although, I mean, you obviously want to identify him as that. But yeah, we want to get to the point where American players are just viewed as good and they're not viewed as American good.
So, and I guess my point here is that I'm okay with three really entertaining DPs, and I don't necessarily care if one of them is a U.S. star, you know? And in fact, at this point now, with what Eric was just saying about the international breaks, if it's to the point where you could come here and playing for Atlanta United in MLS was not going to interfere with your development as a U.S. men's national team player, where you could be able to go to friendlies and get called up and still come back and not miss any games. I'm more excited about that than almost any other MLS news that has broken at this point, because I think that's going to make raise the league's international standing so much more, because you can have guys like Kaká go on international break and not torpedo Orlando's season or playoff hopes, you know. But my thing is, if we end up not stealing a U.S. men's national team star to play on turf the entire year, I'd be totally fine if they just stayed wherever they were and didn't come to Atlanta, and then we got, like, you know, Mario Balotelli or something.
Oh gosh,
jeez, you really want
to throw that out there? But
I would love that guy. I feel like that's the exact. This is another argument for Marco Fabian too. Is that Marco Fabian is a guy who kind of crashed out of Europe and would be a dude who might be able to dominate in the MLS and do some really special things as far as skills and scoring goals is concerned. Same thing to me with Balotelli. Like, unless Jurgen Klopp calls him back to Liverpool, like, that could be a really fun guy to see play in America, where he gets the American lifestyle, you get fun off-the-field stories about him, and also he gets to just score goals on really bad defenders.
Oh, does he bring his pot-belly pig with him? I think that's...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Do you guys want some... So the SparkNotes scouting report on Marco Fabian?
Please.
So, if you know, after you're done looking at all the Dirty South Soccer stuff that we have on the website covering all things Atlanta United... Reddit has a lot of, you know, is your second option. I can't emphasize that enough. Your second option.
In everything, really.
SouthSoccer.com first.
Exactly. So MLS, Reddit has a lot of Atlanta United stuff on it, and they sometimes, you know, take our stuff and post it on there and just look for, you know, reactions and whatnot. So I threw out there, anyone have a SparkNotes, because I know very little on the guy, everyone have a SparkNotes scattering report on this guy. And the strengths, he's very gifted, technical player, good dribbling, passing, shooting from range, good with free kicks. He's versatile. He can play any of the three midfielders in the 3-2-3-1. 4-2-3-1. Skillful, good at beating players on the dribble. His weaknesses, and this is where I really had to laugh. The first one is cervezas. The second one is laziness. The third one, lack of ambition to push himself to the next level. And the fourth one, inconsistency. So,
lack of ambition and laziness, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I was thinking, man, I really, really just wanted the strengths. Now I don't really want him, now that I know that his first weakness is beer.
I was going to say, that's my first weakness.
That's an excellent
first
weakness.
That's every guy's first weakness.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think all three of us can definitely cheers to that being our first weakness. But
that's a fun guy to cover, though. Selfishly, I root for a guy like that. You know, like I would love to see it. I would love to see Atlanta United be like the Bad Boys of MLS.
That's why you want
like, that would be so much fun to me.
Oh, you talking about like the Detroit Pistons from back in the day?
Yes, yes. Chelsea right now, except not sucking. You know, but like Chelsea last year.
Yeah,
like,
let's not bring Chelsea into this. That's just a oof. They're doing terrible.
I'm just saying, you know, like I hate them too, but like I would very much appreciate. I would like to be very sort of. I think LAFC is going to sort of function as the general villain of the MLS only because they're so bad at social media and fan relations at this point. They continue to do things that are odd and quirky and kind of offend people. I think Atlanta United could become like a. If Atlanta United could become like the Divers and Cheats of MLS, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh.
Selfishly, that would be a lot of fun for me.
Wait, so you're telling me that you want Atlanta United to sign Sergi Busquets then? Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
Let's do this.
Can we get Luis Suarez and...
Oh, yes, bite people. This would be exactly. Awesome.
Bite people, and I swear I've seen Sergio Busquets spend more time rolling around on the ground than I actually have seen him contribute meaningful stuff. And obviously, he's a midfield guy that doesn't, you know, get on the stat sheet a whole lot. But still, man, just guys like that, man, I cannot get behind signing them.
Diego Costa, can we throw him into the mix too?
Oh, that could be fun, actually.
It might be fun, but it also might be just excruciating to watch.
He could be available in reality.
That is actually a guy that might be available if he continues to play as poorly as he has. And we could just – why don't we just go full – mind-numbingly bad signings, and let's just sign Falcao. Well, I mean,
yeah. That could be a guy who could revive his career in the MLS. If nothing in MLS, and if nothing else, it could be really fun to watch him try to revive his career in MLS.
Jason,
you know?
You're doing a great job of catching your article.
By the way, we understand that sometimes the slips out, and it's because we're so used to the NFL and the Major League Baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess not the Major League Baseball, but the NBA.
Yeah, pardon us for our
We
ignorance.
Do recognize it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to build myself up to be a better person by not saying the MLS. I feel like it's a mark of my maturity as a human being to say MLS.
Well, there you go. The closer we get to the time, I'm sure the more we'll drop the articles.
Yeah. I'm trying to develop myself as a person as I basically argue that we should just cheat and sign people that dive.
There you go. Well, one thing that you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit with signings and all that stuff because we're going to have to be able to watch this team somehow. And obviously, if you're not going to all the games, which, you know, all the home games, obviously, but in terms of the away games, we still have to figure out how these games are going to get on TV. I did want to bring this up that Atlanta United is working on a deal to televise or stream all of their games. There's a number of different ways this could come about. You could have a more local partnership with one of the local stations, you know, the four-letter, stations, whether it's WSB or Fox or NBC, just the local affiliates, obviously. And I think that's one that not everybody can get on board with being broadcast in Atlanta, whereas if you were to hop on with a Fox Sports South or Fox Sports Southeast, then you're going to have that sort of viewership audience that the Hawks have or that the Braves have and just a much wider scope. So yeah, I'm probably much more in favor of trying to hook on with one of them, but at the same time, it's about the best deal for the team.
Well, the other thing you get if you go regional is that you also get Augusta and Statesboro and any place that's not Metro Atlanta
and Nashville
and Athens and exactly and Nashville. You get, you know, South Carolina and Alabama and probably parts of Florida. I don't know about Florida, but you know, Mississippi and maybe Kentucky. I don't know. You get the entire region as opposed to, you know, just Metro Atlanta. I know that, you know, a Rob won't be able to watch if they just do Fox or ABC. They just won't be able to do he probably won't be able to watch the games in Augusta. So that would in itself present a problem. And on top of that, I don't want to be going up against Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
That's a good point.
That's not a good
point. This would also be us beating Orlando City to the Fox Sports South deal, which might be pretty helpful in establishing Atlanta United's dominance over being the South's soccer team rather than Orlando City.
Well, that's the thing about Atlanta. Atlanta teams are so used to being that, you know, because before you had you know, Orlando teams, you know, before you had an NFL team in Jacksonville, before you had, you know, some of these teams, you didn't really have a whole lot around Atlanta. I mean, you had Nashville, but I mean, Nashville didn't get into the pro sports scene until the Titans rolled into town.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you didn't have anything there. And then Charlotte, they didn't get the Carolina Panthers until the 90s. They had the Hornets, but then the Hornets left, and they have the Hornets back. But what I'm getting at is that Atlanta really was kind of that hub for sport in the Southeast. You know, you had the Braves, Hawks, and Falcons all come, or not at the same time, but close to the same time. And so, yeah, Atlanta kind of had that hub of the South in terms of sport locked down, and it's grown, and other cities have it now. But yeah, I totally agree. If you were to hop on with a Fox Sports South or Southeast, then you can kind of boast yourself as being that brand, as the South's team, so to speak.
I think what ultimately ends up happening is we end up partnering with like a CW type of channel.
So that would still be local, though.
I think so, yeah. But won't interrupt the, you know, the network primetime broadcast that ABC, CBS, and I don't think we're going to want to go up against, you know, the Braves or the Hawks whenever those seasons start. Or, I mean, with the Braves, I mean, we'd literally be – I don't even know how that would work because the Braves would be in season at that point. So,
well, I mean, the Hawks and Braves share networks pretty easily in terms of one being on one and one being on the other. But, yeah, I mean, you throw in
That's only for, like, what, a month?
Yeah, that's true. But you throw in another team into the dynamic, and, yeah, that can get a little dicey.
So. And hopefully all of this, though, will be obsolete because, you know, ESPN will sign a deal with the MLS and make all MLS games available for live stream, regardless of region, in the same way that NBC does the Premier League.
Well, in the same way that, like, with college sports now, how
yeah.
the SEC network, you know, at least around here, I mean, pretty much every sporting event is on. And like soccer games,
yeah.
you know, college soccer game, women's basketball, men's basketball, baseball, they're all viewable because of that partnership with the SEC and ESPN. So, yeah, if the MLS could do something like that, and then you have every game on at least streaming, then, yeah, that would be – I think that would be fantastic. But for now, the league isn't there yet. I mean, their national televised package is – Friday nights on Unimas or Univision, Sundays on ESPN and Fox Sports. They don't even have games on Saturdays. So
I still would be very disappointed if – I mean, I've got my MLS Live subscription, so I, you know, whatever. But I would still be disappointed if we couldn't see our team on TV.
No, I yeah, totally agree.
But I mean, I can't blame them because, I mean, did you see the MLS Cup numbers?
I didn't.
Yeah, like 800,000.
I think on ESPN, yeah. And then the other 200,000 were on – Unimas or whatever it was.
That's pretty terrible because that was a really good game. And you know, we'll get to that towards the end of the podcast. There's really only one more super specific Atlanta United thing I wanted to get to. And it's, you know, talking about watching games on a screen. Well, if you're at the stadium, you'll be able to watch the games on the biggest video board ever. And I'm not just saying that as like hyperbole. This is scientific fact. When you lay flat the 360-degree halo board that will be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it will be 1,100 linear feet long.
That Suck it, Jerry
ridiculous.
World.
Ridiculous. It equals the Eiffel Tower. Like, it's longer than the Eiffel Tower laid on its side. It's longer than three Big Bens laid on their side. And it's longer than six White Houses put side by side. I mean, that's unbelievable. How big? That's ridiculous.
Coming for you, Jerry. Coming for you.
As our esteemed leader on DirtySouthSoccer.com, Rob, put on his fan shot of the picture that they put on Instagram, this thing is going to be redonkulous, and that is a perfect word for it, because it's going to be huge. Take that, Jerry Dome.
I can't really fathom how it's going to work because it's going to be circular, but
right.
I am very curious to see, you know, what it's like to be in that stadium, to look up at a replay and, you know, essentially be looking at a ginormous curved TV.
Would you? I mean, I would assume that, like, for things like that, they'll split it into fours.
Yeah, they'd have to, right?
Like one end, and then side and side, to where, you know, depending on where you're looking, you'll be able to get a good view of it no matter what. That would be my guess. I think some of the things will obviously incorporate the 360-degree element of the video board, but I think most of the time it's just going to be like where you segment it off into different, you know, quadrants.
I mean, I'm sure they got it worked out, but if that's the case, there's going to be certain sections of that stadium that are just going to look like crap.
Well, yeah, and I think obviously when you have a technological undertaking as vast as this one, I think there are people much smarter than us figuring this out. So hopefully, hopefully they get it right, because I mean, in theory, it sounds phenomenal, but in practice, will it work that way? That's the big question we have to answer ourselves. So that's a wrap on, I guess, the Atlanta United portion of this podcast. We do have the ongoing Atlanta United open tryout right now. It is going on today. We are recording this on Thursday, December 10th. I believe that they also have more tryouts coming tomorrow, which is Friday.
I'll be there. So if anyone wants to say what's up, hit me up on Twitter.
Eric will be there. Follow him on Twitter at EricQuintana47.
If anyone is actually trying out and wants to possibly be an interview on the podcast, yes, it'd be a good little, you know, just tell us how it went and get some insider perspective on the goings on of that tryout. And
indeed.
We should have sent one of us to try out.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, and I was hoping that Atlanta United would kind of cover the cost.
Ah,
but unfortunately, they didn't get that. I don't know if they got it. But they have come out and said that they were going to do more. That this was just kind of the first trial run.
If Eric does try out for this, though, we need video.
Yeah. Atlanta United, if you're listening, if there's another tryout, make sure you can send all three of us, and we'll make a big day out of it.
God, if I go, we're not videoing.
As long as I can wear my Mexican wrestling mask so I can't be identified, I'm good to go.
That'd be great.
All right, so we've kind of hit the end of the Atlanta United portion of this podcast. I wanted to jump and just kind of talk about, as we mentioned a second ago, unfortunately, low viewership numbers for what ended up being a fantastic end to MLS season. The great MLS Cup final between the Portland Timbers and the Columbus Crew. And as a fan of Atlanta United, as someone who is still irked by the decision of the fan group for Columbus to put General Sherman on a meme and welcome us into the league, very nice loss for you, Columbus Crew. Good job, guys. And I was pulling for Portland anyway. They're sort of my de facto team that I've fallen on until Atlanta United starts. And it couldn't have started any better for the Timbers with Diego Valeri just putting a lot of great pressure on the keeper and just taking advantage of an awful mistake from Columbus. And that kind of was a good symbol of the whole game, because that game just got nutty from opening kick to last whistle.
That game seemed to be very much in the spirit of what MLS is, because how often, I mean, I feel like we've seen how often basically two, three weeks in a row you see, you know, goals in the first minute of the game in any other league. That almost never happens. And the fact that you had two in the way that you had them in the first 7-8 minutes was just very much in the spirit of the MLS and just how sometimes those games go.
Yeah, and I think that for a playoff where it is built on just being an absolute dumpster fire propelled by bourbon jet fuel type situation, like for all the penalty shootouts that were just insane, for it to end with a cup final that involved a goal from a slide tackle on a goalie is number one. Slide tackle on a keeper is awesome, number one. And then number two, for the other goal to be on a ball that was at least 2 yards out and still come back in and somebody scored on. Like, that to me is a perfect end to MLS 20. And I hope for many more of these type ends in the future, because as I've said before, MLS to continue to gain and become the league of choice, quote unquote, it needs to be the league of chaos first, and we're doing that pretty well at this point, I think.
I mean, how many times did Portland end up hitting the crossbar or one of the posts in this game? I mean, they should have won this game like 5-1, and they just kept hitting the bar or kept, you know, heading directly at the keeper. So a game that probably shouldn't have been as exciting as it ended up being, because it should have been well in hand. But hey, you know, it ended up being very exciting to watch. So I give both teams a lot of credit.
It's good for Caleb Porter too, because Porter has taken a lot of stick, as we say, from folks about his general coaching philosophy or prowess or his innovative spirit or whatever. He came into the league from Akron sort of as a guy that was the hope of future U.S. coaching, sort of the exact thing that I've been sort of preaching about. Like, I want a guy who's a tactical innovator and has personality. There have been a lot of articles about how Porter basically gave that up and became a pragmatist and just wanted to do whatever it took to eke out a draw or a one goal win, you know. And I mean, the pragmatist figured out now how to really make it work and just won the MLS Cup, you know. I mean, it's that to me is a pretty big achievement for Caleb Porter. And I'm also really glad that this was not a clash between two boring soccer philosophies, you know. It wasn't anybody trying to get out there and just defend the entire time. These are two attacking teams that really did go at each other. And unfortunately, it was just two goals. Like you said, Sam, it should have been a lot more. And I think Columbus could have gotten a couple more as well, which would have made for a great, an even better MLS Cup than we got.
I definitely agree with that.
I thought I fell in love with Caleb Porter based off not just this game, but the 8-game like winning streak that they went, or, you know, unbeaten streak that they went on, you know, coming into the playoffs and you know, through the playoffs, the way he was just able to take Columbus out of the game from the get-go, it was amazing. The fact that Moram was basically on the ground every 10 seconds was kind of amazing to me, because they could not get anything going in their own attacking third.
I hate it for Ethan Finley, who's been a big, you know, we've preached about him in the U.S. men's national team a lot, and he was just invisible.
I found myself thinking, I forget, I would hear his name called every now and then, and I forget that he was even in the game.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. There were some ups and downs, there's no question about it. Obviously, we did get to see Jack McInerney, Atlanta's own, playing for the Columbus Crew, so that was a nice little shot to get to see him. But unfortunately, not too much else related to Atlanta in that game, other than the fact that Atlanta will be beating both of these teams when our team does come into the league. So
I'm also glad too, just to say this, there's a great story about Kai Kamara escaping like civil war in his home country to get to professional soccer and MLS eventually. Really happy for him to score a goal, even though it was under bad circumstances. It was the equalizer, or it wasn't the equalizer at the time, but it was a goal that you hoped would be like the impetus for Crew to get back in the game.
It was early enough to where you thought it could turn the momentum.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, this is that all goals in this game were scored within the first 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after that, nothing, which is not necessarily the best way for a cup final to work, but that's still that's a hella entertaining game, you know?
Yeah.
But good for Kai Kamara, and I hope that he is a mainstay of MLS for quite a while, because he's a great story and also like a hell of a player.
I think if you had told many people who maybe aren't, or maybe are on the fringe of being an MLS fan, if you had told them that game was going to be 2-1 after 18 minutes and there's going to be no scoring after that, they would have never watched. If you stuck through the whole thing, it was one of the most entertaining second halves, just because of that drama from the first half that didn't result in goals in the second, but still carried over.
Oh, yeah, and like I said, Portland kept hitting the post. like it got to the point where even the commentators in the game were like, I've never seen anything like this. Like, how does this keep happening? How has the ball not gone in? So it ended up being, like you said, very, very exciting. And all we can do is hope for much more of that as MLS continues to grow as a league and continues to get more and more exposure. Because if you have more games like this, it's going to hook in more people. So, you know, we can talk about MLS all we want, but quite frankly, talking about MLS Cup and talking about an MLS season without Atlanta United in it just makes me want 2017 to get here sooner rather than later.
Oh, so
coming for you, Columbus. Coming.
Yeah.
Just wait. We're coming.
Oh, yeah. No, they're already. I mean, I know that Orlando is going to be more of a regional rival, but if you're an Atlanta United fan, you can't forget that meme, the General Sherman meme. That was a war started very early. So
the Mason-Dixon derby is on. It's coming.
Like that. The Mason-Dixon derby. That sounds good to me. Well, boys, that should about wrap this episode up of the Mouths of the South podcast. I was about to say the Dirty South Soccer podcast. I made that mistake before. We are the Mouths of the South
podcast juniors.
From DirtySouthSoccer.com. Any closing notes from either of you guys?
I think we should just note that it seems as though Minnesota United is going to – MLS is pushing for Minnesota United to come in the same year as Atlanta United, you know, to keep everything even within the conferences and whatnot. So it looks like that is going to happen. We're going to come in with the Minnesota United. So expect – I'm willing to bet that the first game in the 2017 season will be Minnesota United at Atlanta United, or one, the other way around.
All right, that sounds good to me, boys. This has been a pleasure. Kind of dicey with the holiday season, what we'll be doing. I'm sure we'll be back one more time before the end of the year. We'll work it out for you guys, so keep it locked. Don't forget DirtySouthSoccer.com. Follow on Twitter at DirtySouthSock. You can also follow our Twitter account at MOTS Podcast. Follow Jason at Jason is a Smith, Eric at Eric Quintana 47, and myself at Sam J. Franco. So we will be back very soon with another episode of the Mouths of the South podcast. And as we like to say, keep it easy, everybody.
See ya.
Hashtag never forget.